Well, Done With Debt is a consumer advocate firm specializing in debt relief strategies. I have asked Michael Pearson to join me to share his strategies and advice for people that want to end their debt permanently. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So talk to us about credit card and loan interest rates have skyrocketed. How does this affect most Americans? Because we're all dealing with this.
Well, that's a great question. It's tough because it affects all Americans here. One thing that we always notice is that we can't control the interest rate. So your debt keeps building faster and faster. It's getting bigger and bigger. And what was once a manageable situation is now unmanageable. And with inflation going crazy, with just groceries, gasoline, rents, all the basic necessities, at some point something has to break and you realize that you're not going to get out of this debt maybe in years, sometimes decades. So it's tough.
Yeah. So a lot of people look to either get a loan or declare bankruptcy, but that can actually make it worse. I struggle with insomnia, Michael. I don't know if you do, because I know a lot of people, you go to bed waking thinking about your debt, you wake up thinking about it, or whatever your problems are. What's your advice for someone struggling with debt in general?
Go to donewithdebt.com, answer 3 to 4 questions, get in contact with us before you even make your next payment to that credit card. Before you call the creditors yourself, give us a call. There is hope. We will help you. Simply go to donewithdebt.com, fill out a couple questions. We'll have one of our experts call you right away. It's free at no cost to you. We don't charge anything until we start settling your debts. So what do you have to lose?
There you go. Easy peasy. That's a complex financial term that I hope you understand. Go to donewithdebt.com. That is donewithdebt.com. Michael, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, we are ready to go. And 3, 2, 1.
Well, it's hard to notice a man that hangs around with Bob Seska, but David Ferguson, T-Rex, finally joins the Stephanie Miller Happy Hour. I have worshipped you from afar, David, on Bob's show. Aww. You are so funny. You are so funny. Aww. You and Bob and Jody Hamilton together are magic, magic.
I think we need our own, like, you know, live talk show whenever we can all be in the same room together.
I know.
After the pandemic.
I know.
I would love the three of us to interview someone like Charlie Pierce. I think it would be really fun.
I know. What's nice to virtually meet you finally. You are a Renaissance man, a writer, musician, podcaster, and
boxer.
What's that?
Boxer.
Oh, you're also a boxer? I did not know that.
Yeah. Well,
I think,
kickboxer.
Is that bullshit? Are you making that up?
No, that's absolutely true.
You're a kickboxer?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. So you
know, like 7 or 8 years ago, I was walking home downtown in Athens, and it was the middle of the night, and these guys like came after me. You know, the whole faggot
yes.
thing.
Yes.
I kind of backed into a corner and was like, man, I got nothing, you know? And so like a week and a half later, I was at the gym and I saw this guy, you know, training with a boxing trainer. And I went over and was like, could you teach me to do that? And now I love it. Boxing is amazing.
It does seem mandatory for a homo living in Georgia, I must say.
Oh, you know, Athens is like a little blueberry and a big pot of tomato soup. This is like
Where is Athens exactly?
It's about an hour north of Atlanta.
Okay.
15 miles from the Love Shack. Oh, sorry.
Bastard.
Actually, I do live about a mile and a half from where the Love Shack was.
Wow. I love that song. Yeah. I love Love Shack. Okay. Well, you grew up in Columbus, Georgia, which I love that you describe as an angry little conservative town. It's just the entire town is angry?
The white people are. There's a really like amazing black community in my town, a big thriving R&B music scene.
Yeah.
believe it or not, and this is obscure fact, but the R&B station there, the big one is Foxy 105, 104.9. And they
Foxy 105, everybody. Yeah, sorry.
They played the Vanilla Ice song first. Like, no, really, Ice Ice Baby was the B-side, and the DJ at the radio station in Columbus was like, I don't like this A-side. He turned it over and was like, now this sounds like a hit. And you have my hometown to thank for that.
Wow. So people say to me, they're like, oh, you're from Buffalo, you like the cold weather. I'm like, no, my parents didn't give us a fucking choice. I'm just,
yeah, exactly.
I understand that you were a little homo in Georgia. Why are you still in Georgia? Do you actually like it?
No, really, I'm telling you, Athens, Georgia is like a little west village, like just dropped in the middle of the North Georgia mountains. It's beautiful here. There is we have a completely progressive city council, progressive mayor.
Oh, okay.
We were actually the first city in the state to go into like COVID lockdown and to have a mask.
Wow. Well, you wrote a great, we'll get to how your stupid ass fucking Republican governor's killing you later, but okay. But you're in a little blueberry. I love that you said somehow I felt I needed to come out of the closet at 14 in 1982, despite being in a excessively angry little conservative town.
I don't know. I mean, I had really cool parents.
Yeah.
And all through high school, my mom, you know, our house was like a haven for all the queer kids.
Yeah.
Like the one place they could go and be themselves. And yeah, but I mean, my mom was an opera singer in college, and then she became a psychologist, and she had all these gay friends. And so it wasn't so much like, mom, I'm gay, as mom, I'm like Rex and John, best friends.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, when I came out to her at like 13 or 14, she was basically like, duh.
Yeah.
Like, you baked me an amaretto cheesecake for Mother's Day when you were 9. That check was in the mail.
Well, it's been more than 75 years since many courageous soldiers, no suckers, no losers, maybe even your granddad, left home to fight for the highest possible purpose. Explore the new collection of untold stories from World War II, then find and honor the veterans in your family, Ancestry.com. I'm old, so my dad served in World War II. And you may be familiar with the stories of World War II, but there's so many more stories to recover. In honor of the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II, Ancestry has just released a U.S. draft card collection from World War II with over 36 million draft cards completed by fighting-age men in the U.S. across the country during that time, whether they ended up serving or not. There's a great chance you'll find your relatives in that collection and so much more about your ancestry. Discover all the untold stories about your ancestors and more at Ancestry.com. Head to my URL at Ancestry.com/liberal. Start discovering your story today. That's Ancestry.com/liberal. Ancestry.com/liberal. What? So you have a twin brother.
Yes.
Wow. So 2005, you talked about getting over an opioid addiction. It worked in public radio. Then you became a writer for Raw Story. And then I've heard about this on Bob's show that you had not just a heart attack. You had a widowmaker is what they call them.
Yeah, 96% fatal. And yet nobody told me that. And so I guess I was just like, I know it's laying there going, can I have some more morphine? Oh. But yeah. Yeah, that, and you know, honestly, 2018 was a really shitty year. Like, I had a heart attack, and you know, the doctors were like, you know, the kind of heart attack you had is associated with severe depression. You should watch out. And I'm like, oh, I'm a goth. I know about depression, you know. And then, it was really a rough year. It was, And then Bob, that was right around that spring when I was at my lowest point, was when Bob was like, hey, why don't you come co-host with me?
Yeah.
And it really became like, it still is kind of the highlight of my week.
Where does T-Rex come from? I've never heard that story that you were known as T-Rex.
This friend of mine back in college, a very, very sweet gay black boy named Tremaine, who always called me Miss Ferguson, but also called me Thesaurus Rex, because I would get mad. When I'm one of those people who, when I get mad, instead of getting like, there's no log jam of words, I don't get choked up, I don't have that next day thing. I get more eloquent as I get mad, and... Tremaine was like, girl, when Thesaurus Rex gets the book off the shelf, he hits you with it.
This has come in handy in podcasting in the era of Trump, because I'm like, I like lose the words for how much I hate him. And I know it's not healthy as a human being to hate him, but there's not enough like fuck words in the English language. There's not enough.
Well, it's not like he's not repulsive on every possible level.
Yeah.
Like, even with the sound off, he's like, hurts my ears.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
I can't
like,
look at him anymore. Oh, he's just so disgusting with his Oh, Garfield anus lips flapping and I can't. Okay.
I told Bob his face, his whole head to me looks like a basketball that was stitched together out of old men's scrotums. You know, like
the source.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. All right. I thought the T-Rex.
You couldn't see that, but I curtsied.
I thought maybe T-Rex, maybe you were cheap. You don't get the check. You're like, oh, my little hands can't reach my wallet. It's not that. It's okay.
No,
It's your rage, your barely contained rage.
Yes, my eloquent rage.
You know, it must be double seriously living in Georgia because I'm sorry. First of all, we have an illegitimate president who was not legitimately elected, and you have an illegitimate governor. That was not. You write about this. You said, first of all, you said, what do you do when you're strapped in the backseat of a speeding car? Dad's driving drunk. That's what it felt like watching Kemp, whose election is widely attributed to voter suppression, other acts of electoral chicanery, lurch from one boneheaded move to another. So there he is, like, stole the election from Stacey Abrams. He closed the state, as you write, closed the state too slowly, reopened it too quickly, has eagerly beclowned himself before the world by showing his utter ignorance about science and public health.
I got to talk about how happy I am that they let me keep the word beclowned because it's a verb I made up. But
right.
No, it is. It's nuts. And I don't know what the man is using for brains because every decision he makes is completely. It's like he hasn't got the sense that God gave a bowl of coleslaw, you know, and it's just like we just found out that asymptomatic people can spread it. And it's like, you dumb shit. We've known this since biblical times,
I was just about to ask you, what was the thing he said that everybody fucking knew? Like, well, you're like, what? We didn't just find out. Like, But then you talk about that he basically just wants you to reopen because of college football. You said that's what counts in Georgia, not our neighbors, especially black Georgians getting decimated in the early stages of the outbreaks, not the health and welfare of the state's healthcare workers and their families, but the God-given right of all Georgia's people to assemble in outdoor stadiums and watch black bodies break themselves on the field for a sport. And you say, living where you live, home of University of Georgia, I greet the possibility of football season with a feeling of suffocating dread. People will come from all over the Southeast to drink and get sloppy, mingling in bars, fraternity houses, backyard barbecues. We just saw what happened in Sturgis, David. 250,000.
Oh, it's happening now.
Yes.
There's been a massive outbreak on campus, but the university's not reporting the numbers. They want to stay open until drop ad, which is next Friday, because that's the last day you can get your money back for your tuition, so they want to be open past that. The whole reason that they opened, this is crazy, the company that runs the dorms, so they outsourced student housing to an outside company.
Yeah.
And when the University of Georgia said, we're thinking about canceling on-campus learning this fall, the company was like, we're going to sue you for every single penny that you owe us in damages.
Yeah.
And so they were like, well, let's open the dorms. Which is, and so yeah. Last Tuesday, there were 815 cases on campus. By Friday, there were 1,000.
Just in Florida. We just did the case this morning, David. How many cases? Just University of Florida, like overnight. I mean, it's such a no-brainer. You watch them packed into bars and fraternity houses. You're like, this is going to be a shit show. Oh, here it is. You know?
It's like I said, it's like being strapped into the backseat of a speeding car and dad's driving drunk. It's just, but I feel like that's going to ultimately be the theme when we look back at 2020, is all of us standing around going, somebody do something.
Yeah. And we just had a longtime listener, Steph, had died of COVID. My co-host Jim Warren almost died of COVID. I mean, I can't see my 97-year-old mother with Alzheimer's because of COVID, because I can't travel to North Carolina. You know,
my husband's brother's wife's sister is in the hospital intubated right now. A friend of mine died very early in the epidemic. He went to the hospital and they were like, you're fine, go home. And he was black and he went home and it escalated and they found him dead. And it's just, he was 51.
Yeah.
And
did Anthony Hopkins, didn't he just die? Am I getting the wrong name? I can't remember.
Sir Anthony Hopkins is still with us.
No, I'm sorry. There was some other famous actor. But people, you're right, David, that are in otherwise good health. I think he was 71. I don't know who I heard of something. But obviously we can all name famous people and not so famous people. But we're going to beat 400,000 dead, the latest model says, by January, right? I mean, this is, don't you feel like you're taking crazy pills? Like, we're all out of work and we're all dead, and there's even a question about this election that people.
I feel like a Trump official, and that I've been on house arrest since March.
Yeah,
you know, like a former cabinet official. I just need the anklet to round out the look, and maybe an ostrich jacket with 3/4 length sleeves. But yeah,
at least you're married. Try it single. I haven't been touched by a human since March. I'm just like, I'm going fucking crazy.
You know, that's the people who I really hate it for, because I have single friends, and
yeah.
My guitar player is single, but he's kind of in our bubble of like 6 people that we freely interact with.
Yeah.
But I know
how long have you been married?
We got married on, 2017. We got legally married on February 7th, right after the inauguration, because we thought maybe that Pence was going to make it illegal or something.
Right.
You know, right. And then we had our big party wedding on May 28th of 2017. So how many is that? But we've been together since 2011.
And what I assume Mr. T-Rex is a velociraptor. What does he do?
Yeah, I call him my Rican deacon. He's from Puerto Rico, and he's just the cutest, sweetest dude. He's an interpreter. He's actually in there right now, probably on the phone, interpreting between, English-speaking healthcare people and Spanish-speaking patients.
Yeah. Did you pelt him with paper towels in honor of Donald Trump pelting Puerto Rico as a joke? I'm just wondering what the sense
is. No, that's not really our fetish. Oh, okay. Sometimes he'll throw sardines and I yelp like a sea, like, arr, arr, but you know, that's
hot,
a different thing.
Hot.
Okay, now I'm sorry I delved into your private life. Listen,
aren't you ever?
Everything being personal, you wrote a great piece about the U.S. Postal Service lifted my family out of poverty. We can't let it die. You said, for me, the fight to save the U.S. Postal Service is personal, not only because it may be the only way to safely vote this November. You obviously have a pre-existing condition, but you said also, I remember my grandfather's dedication and the joy he took in his work. And I just, at the end of the day, David, is Donald Trump going to destroy fucking everything we have held dear in America?
Now, this is the thing. This summer has shown us that even with a massive pandemic, people are in the streets. And I feel like even if he tries to cheat the election and refuse to leave the White House, we will walk to Washington if we have to, and pull down that 8-foot baby gate and yank him out of that building with a pair of red hot pliers if we have to, because it's just, he does not, the majority is not in favor of him. In fact, the vast majority is, we're all sick of him. We can't stand him.
Yeah.
And I feel like on some level they know that, which is why they went military so fast and decided they needed to, shoot tear gas and rubber bullets in Lafayette Square, because the power of the people is power. That's the real power.
They wouldn't be fighting this hard to keep us from voting if it didn't matter, if there wasn't. Except that I look at you and I think, Stacey Abrams should be in the governor's mansion. I mean, you got fucked. And I'm like, how is it even legal?
It's an awful feeling. And how is it legal? So this is America now. We just live under stolen elections. That's just what we do. We're just accepting it.
But how is it legal for the guy running to be in charge of the election and clearly fucked with the voter rolls and voter suppression and everything else, right?
No, if this election had happened in Libya, we would overturn it.
Yeah.
It's completely like backwater. Just banana republic stuff. But they've been doing this this is what's going to be interesting about this election. With most Democrats voting by mail or by, I'm doing an absentee ballot and taking it to the Board of Elections and dropping it in the box if I had,
Good plan.
This will be the first election in a generation where Georgia's actually had a paper trail.
Yeah.
And I think the results are going to be very interesting.
Okay.
Because I've believed since they put in the Diebold machines in the mid-90s. Is it Diebold or Diebold?
I think it's Diebold. I thought it was Diebold. Tomato. Okay.
But like we keep having these elections where the polling has the Democrat ahead.
Right.
And then the election and it vanishes overnight and the Republican wins. And I don't think those machines are good. They've never, and now they have new ones from another company. They're even more easy to hack. So. But then now we're going to have paper. We're going to have actual. And I think that's going to be, we're going to get a new picture of the Georgia electorate.
Yeah.
Because I don't think what we've seen so far is accurate.
Do it, T-Rex. You're in charge of turning Georgia blue. Hold that thought for a minute. Let's talk about other upsetting news. Is there any other kind of news than upsetting right now?
Things are contaminated with COVID.
Right. Coronavirus. It is obviously going to be with us for a while. The place to go is thenewdealshop.com. You can get everything you need. The Clean Phone Pro, the regular Clean Phone, the Clean Phone Wand, the KN95. They're all the FDA-authorized KN95 masks. Everything you need to keep you and your family safe from coronavirus. Bacteria, viruses everywhere, right? Your phone, your earbuds, your car keys, your groceries, packages, wallet, even your face mask.
Yeah.
Sanitizing these items is an important part of staying safe and healthy. That's why we have everything here. The regular Clean Phone diffuses, so your mask smells fantastic.
And you need that.
Clean Phone Pro is bigger if you have a whole workplace like ours, right? We can all put our keys and our earbuds and our masks and all that. Our phones. Your phone is a must because you take it everywhere with you.
I was highlighting stuff for you earlier. I put the Sharpie in there and cleaned it for you.
I did. I said, don't touch my Sharpie. Get your hands off. And then I slapped you, but that's not important now. What's important is you used another one and then you disinfected it so I can use it again. Go to thenewdealshop.com now. Don't touch things your icky coworkers have touched. Select the right Clean Phone products for you. Get free FedEx two-day shipping. And as an added bonus, get 10% off those FDA-authorized respirator face masks. Go to thenewdealshop.com. You heard me. Free FedEx two-day shipping. A bonus 10% off those FDA-authorized masks. Thenewdealshop.com. Let's talk music for a minute. This has got to be everybody in lockdown, this has got to be such a huge outlet for you, because I know your band was Compromat, but that's like all of us, right? Sexy Liberal Tour, you can't tour, so that's on hiatus. But tell us about Astral Summer. I'm just all for the first song because it's called Assault and Flattery, which is just fantastic title.
Well, the big song we want people to hear is Waiting for the World to End, because that's kind of like, but Assault and Flattery is not out yet, but I was just working on it because Travis wanted to hear something. But
right.
Astral Summer. So, you know, Compromat, we have a band member with a family member who's recovering from cancer and doesn't have an intact immune system. And then our drummer in Compromat is a respiratory therapist in a hospital. So just not putting those two people in a building this year.
Right.
I was getting all these songs jammed up in my head, and Dave was already my friend. And I was telling him, like, I'm so frustrated. He's like, well, you know, I can play guitar and keyboards and drums and bass. I was like, oh, that's right. And so we got together on a Saturday. Waiting for the World to End is like I was on Bob's show on hold. We got dumped by the carrier that he does his satellite, the ISDN carrier. And Jody came back first, and we're waiting for Bob. And Jody's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, waiting for the world to end. What are you doing? And I was like, boom, song. And so I had the song. And,
oh, wow.
You know,
do we have this?
We do have it now.
Okay, yeah. Wait. Let's listen to a little. Here we go. Bandcamp.com. That is fantastic.
You know who likes that song?
Yeah. What's that?
Mary Trump likes that song, which makes me so happy.
How did you hear about that? That she liked? Did she reach out?
I followed her. She followed me back. And then she was like, hey, I love the Goth Ninjas. And I really like your song. And I'm just like,
oh my God.
Mary Trump! Like, yeah.
Well, you know, there is a meteor scheduled to hit right before the election. So I want a t-shirt that just is Biden or meteor. That's my two choices. Yeah.
Come, Armageddon, come, said Morrissey.
Doesn't it? Our whole fucking state's on fire, David. Doesn't it every day feel like?
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah. It just feels like the end of the world, doesn't it?
You guys have got to sweep your forest.
I know.
The president said you got to get in there with your rigs and get out all that, you know, forest in the
well,
forest.
Well, who is it, Sweden? I love that an entire nation mocked us with Roombas in their forest.
Oh, God.
We're a laughing stock of the entire world. I mean, that's the main thing.
The thing about, this is the thing about California, though. Like, California is where, like, writers can actually make a living. And, like, creative people have jobs where they're creative. And yet, it's like a will of God theme park. It's like blazing wildfires, terrifying earthquakes, mudslides. Yeah. You know, I mean, I even remember medflies.
Yes.
It's like, what are you guys doing over there?
Yeah.
So it's like, and like here, I live in this nice disaster-free, I mean, knock some wood, little patch. I mean, we get the occasional tornado that doesn't really, I mean. Yeah, the ground stays still.
But you're gay. You love that because it reminds you of Wizard of Oz. So, you know.
Right. My whole house just takes off. and I ran into this woman and she said, "Give me your shoes." And I said, "Which, please?"
I got that reference.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there. David, you are a delight.
Yeah, I'll be here until there's a vaccine, I guess.
All right. You are a delight in musical form and podcast form. You have your own podcast in addition to Bob Seska, right?
The T-Rex Report.
Okay.
It's at patreon.com/theTRexReport, just T-H-E-T-R-E-X and report. And and I've actually got a new theme that I've composed in GarageBand. I'm going to try it on the next episode. I've got some new music, and I'm like finally getting my shit together with GarageBand. Learning to write my own music and to do audio and stuff is something that I've been procrastinating for about 35 years.
Yeah, now we all have to do all our own shit.
No time like a lockdown to do this.
It's really irritating.
Well, that's really, I mean, literally, Travis, that's what happened. It was just like, I was just like, so many ideas. And like, I'm just like, oh my God, okay, finally, I'm going to learn to use this. And once you start, it's like with any program, like, you know, remember when you first started word processing, you were like, where's the go button? Yeah. Like,
I'm back with the typewriter and the whiteout. That's how old I am.
Yeah, I have a manual typewriter that I write on sometimes. It feels so good. But
yeah. And machines, answering machines for your phones. So you could, you know, right. At least before we had those, we could pretend we were popular, and probably a lot of people called while you were out. And then answering machines
were
designed to make you feel like a loser.
Screening calls was a lot easier back then.
Ay. David, you're a delight, sir. So nice to finally meet you virtually. Best of luck with the podcast, the music, all that stuff. I hope one day to meet you in person in your little tiny T-Rex hand. I'll give you a little tiny hug. A little tiny hug.
Flossing as hell.
Love you, David. David Ferguson, T-Rex.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
It's such an honor to find, you know, you too, Travis. I was a little sad I didn't get to see Chris LaVoy.
Oh, he's on vacation.
Yes, he's out right now.
That will lure you back.
I'm sort of the anti-Chris LaVoy. Like, the more clothes I take off, the less sexy I get. You know? Like, if I was a stripper, people would be like, whoa, put it on. Put that back on.
Put it on. Put it on. Oh, stop it. Love you, David.
Thanks, David.
Debt. You go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it, right? Here's the truth. The system traps you in debt. High interest credit cards and loans makes it nearly impossible to pay off all your debt. And insane inflation keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. Done with Debt is your lifeline. Done with Debt has an ingenious new strategy to help erase your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Done with Debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce bills. They know how to cut interest rates. Their skilled staff of negotiators knows how to get debt out of your life permanently without bankruptcy and without a loan. Done with Debt, they're the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive. Time to finally get some sleep. Time to rest easy. Here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. One more time. DoneWithDebt.com. Do it now. DoneWithDebt.com.